This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this, a Martin Luther King Monday, January 18th. Hope everyone's had a good day. Hopefully many of you have had the day off, maybe had a moment for some reflection, maybe checked out a classic Dr. King speech or reading, or simply got to spend time with your family and take a little breath away from the madness. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
Yeah, keep breathing.
And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Bring it, bring it.
By the way, that comes together and just sounds like a song.
Yeah, keep breathing.
Bring it, bring it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is on its own, but together it's like a beautiful song. First of all, Michael, not a word on my outfit today. That just seems like you're trying not to compliment me, you know?
I'm a little angry at you today, so.
Why is that? Because of the lead?
The lead, the fact that you've cheated to get there, the fact that I'm not going to accept the championship, the fact that you insisted on a big football Monday to do a review of a Tiger Woods documentary that 7 people watched on HBO.
But you ruined it by throwing in a Yankee deal that almost happened at 4 o'clock on the holiest of days. You're both wrong.
I'm sorry, Don. That's a pretty big story. All baseball fans are talking about it over the weekend. But go on. You guys know
better. Come on. Give me a break.
Let me pin you right up against the wall with my hand in your throat.
Dear God, dear Triad, it would be so fabulous to drop you.
Wait. Did you think that was happening right now?
What?
Was that a separate drop?
Say a word.
Oh, that was a drop. Oh, listen to that. That was Michael and Don fighting, but they never even fought. Listen.
What are you talking about?
Let me pin you right up against the wall with my hand in your throat.
To which Don says,
I'm not saying it's not important, but at 4 o'clock you're ripping him about a Tiger documentary, and then you talk about a Yankee deal that didn't happen with a guy that half the fan base thinks was played 20 years ago.
Well, then they're not real fans. I really don't care about that fan base, because if they think that it's Luis Castillo, the second baseman, that's on them, not me. Sorry, I don't live in a fairy tale land.
I don't think it's crazy. A lot of people had asked me what I thought of the Tiger Woods.
You could have saved it for ENN.
Neither is crazy. Both are great stories.
Thank you.
But at 4 o'clock, neither of you should be ripping the other on bringing this up, and we've got football, knee-deep in football.
Well, no, I didn't
rip
anyone.
So I'm saying Michael's ripping you for bringing up the Tiger documentary, and then he's like, well, by the way, in baseball, a deal that didn't happen.
Thank you, Don. I really appreciate your support.
Don's wrong. I'm sorry.
Why am I wrong?
Because the Yankee deal is a big deal. The Tiger Woods thing is a documentary which could be reviewed at any time.
Yeah, but a deal that never happened is something that can be reviewed at any time.
Well, they also signed Corey Kluber since last we were on the air. Please go on. You guys know better. I'm just here by accident.
Guys? I'd like for us to just move forward, if we can, and talk about Kyrie Irving. Nets got a win over the weekend, the first appearance of James Jim Harden as a Brooklyn Net. And now tonight, Irving, who's already missed the last 6 games, will miss the Nets game against Milwaukee tonight. Michael, what channel, what vehicle is carrying the Nets-Bucks game? Is that a TNT vehicle?
You know, I know there's a hot stove tonight, and the game starts at 7:30, so...
That feels like it's a TNT vehicle.
TNT, yeah.
Yeah. That's your TNT game.
Yeah, because the game tips at 7:30?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, we got a hot stove right into Yankee Magazine.
Wow. It's a big night.
And then there's a special, Don, because you know how close Peter and Flip are. Peter's going to do a full hour reviewing a Tiger Woods documentary.
I got to tell you, it wouldn't be bad television. I'd have a lot to say.
It was between that and the Yankeeography of Corey Kluber.
They're already doing that? So
yeah, I saw you on Yes the other day, Peter, on the boxing show interviewing Tyson.
Oh, there was a replay?
Yeah.
Beautiful. I
enjoyed Peter
that.
Does the sneaky appearances on Yes that I don't think he even realizes are on.
I have a whole new idea for something for Yes. Don't you even worry about that. And by the way, no, that idea came after I started wearing the suits. I did not have an idea and then start wearing suits. I started wearing suits and then I had an idea. Just want to be clear because
still, your relationship with Flip is one of the great turnarounds. It's really almost like the fan base loving Alex Rodriguez again level.
Well, although I texted Flip over the weekend, nothing. Silence. Chirp.
He's kind of a busy guy. He's running a network, but go ahead.
Running a network the whole time he started kissing Peter's fanny out of nowhere.
Wow, okay. That, you know what? I resemble that remark. Now, the word came out today that Kyrie Irving bought George Floyd's family a house. We all know that Kyrie's been taking this leave of absence for personal reasons, and some of it's supposedly related to the Capitol riots, and some was maybe related to social justice issues. Well, the word is that he decided to buy a home for George Floyd's family.
That's great.
Thought that was pretty cool.
But can I just say this?
You don't have to miss games to do that.
He's still wrong.
If
we were getting into a debate about him, you could throw at me, Bob, but you gave George Floyd's family a house. That's great. That's all. But that does not going to change my opinion on how he handled this was poorly.
It is amazing, though, Don, how quickly people's opinions could change. All right, so the opinions on Harden, the way he forced his way out of Houston to get to the Nets. I don't even remember where I read it, but I read all the papers over the weekend, obviously. And somebody in one of the papers said, well, I mean, Harden showed what a great teammate he was with this game against the Nets, so all of that stuff in Houston doesn't count. Really?
No, it's not how it works.
So the first day you show up somewhere, I think you're going to be on your best behavior and actually pass the ball. That doesn't absolve him of the way he worked his way out of Houston. And let's see how he and Kyrie work together. And by the way, Peter, they think that he's going to play on Wednesday, which will be a game on Yes. That'll be the Nets against the Cavaliers. So he'll be returning against the team. Another team he forced a trade from.
He's only played them once since he left, actually, too, in Boston, the opener in 2018, I believe. Now, the Nets did play well, though, with Jim Harden. You said it earlier, over 30 from Harden, triple-double, 42, I think, from Durant.
Durant looked great, yeah.
Plus, the Knicks had a big weekend as well, back-to-back afternoon wins. Over Boston and today Orlando.
What was happening? That could not have been a full Boston squad.
I honestly didn't realize
Tatum
was
out.
Okay.
And they had three games postponed because of COVID.
So, yeah, they were in a weird spot.
So they took them very lightly and they didn't have Tatum. So,
to the Knicks. Did you think they could win by 25 points after losing five straight?
It's the second most they've ever won in Boston. I think the most was 30 points in 1970.
They were up 40.
Yeah.
So it was crazy. Then today, at the Garden, Knicks take on Orlando. Let's hear a moment from R.J. Barrett.
Deflected by Barrett. Knicks with the steal. Barrett in the front court. Drive on Burks to the rim. Goes up. And it's good. R.J. Barrett with the steal. The layup. And the Knicks an 85-81 lead with 41 seconds to go.
Ed Cohen on the call. That was the bucket that really started to spell the beginning of the end for that one. So the Knicks now 7-8 after 15 games. Not too shabby.
No, pretty good. And they didn't, I had it written down. They didn't get their seventh win last year. Until their 28th game, so they got in their 15th game this year.
Well, there's a lot to talk about with Andy Reid after the Chiefs finding out the Chiefs are now heading back to a third straight conference championship game. First of all, there's a lot of people questioning the play call, that the design run that ended up concussing Pat Mahomes. Now, after the game, Andy Reid said that he did not know yet whether Mahomes would clear the concussion protocol, but he did say, quote, there was a chance back in the day that Patrick comes back in the game. You saw him run up the tunnel. By the time he got to that point, he was feeling pretty good. But there's a certain protocol you have to follow, and that takes it out of the trainer's hand and the player's hand and the doctor. So maybe that's a good sign that he seems to think back in the day he would have been available to return. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything, guys, right, about how the protocol plays out this week.
Well, it's interesting because if you watch the play, Jay Glazer said it best on the postgame show on Fox. He said it looked as if he got choked out. He said, well, you just lose where you are and you lose, you know, because his head never really slammed into the ground. It certainly the back of it didn't. The front might have a little bit, but it just looked like his head was twisted by the tackler. And Jay Glazer thought that he got choked out and he lost consciousness. But it was scary when he got up and he couldn't walk.
Yeah, that collapse was definitely scary.
And you know, I usually always agree with Steve Young, but you know, Steve talking about like the yards are there and hardly anything ever bad happens. When you lose Patrick Mahomes, all those free yards don't mean anything.
Yeah,
they're not going to win with Chad Henne as their quarterback next week or this Sunday.
Yeah, I was a little confused.
Yeah,
by Steve continuing to say they're free yards. I get what he's saying, meaning they're free in that if you run a certain play, you basically can't be stopped. But what
if
a major!
If you lose Patrick Mahomes, that's a high cost.
That's
not
a high cost to lose the only chance. I mean, listen, if we find out that Patrick Mahomes isn't playing, is there one of us who's picking Kansas City next weekend?
Not with Chad Henne, no.
No, I don't think that line would stay the same either. I'm assuming that line, what was it, 3.5?
So let's, by the way, let's play that game. That little, how much does the line change when you don't have a quarterback? It's currently Kansas City favored by 3 against the Bills. What is that line?
I think it'd be flipped. Without Mahomes, I think Buffalo might be 3.
But according to the great R.J. Bell, that like never happened. Like, I mean, a 6-point swing?
Yeah, but this would be
Patrick Mahomes and Chad Henne.
Yeah, so you got a quarterback that has made one start since 2014, and that was in a meaningless game for Kansas City in Week 17, as opposed to the best quarterback in football.
And God, could anyone be cuter than Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen? I mean, it's enough to make you sick.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a sitcom on NBC.
But by the way, and also, I really do love it because I love Diggs. Went to Maryland, and I'm enjoying. I have so many friends in my life, you know, from my friend Aaron to Mel.
Is that Aaron or Erin?
Erin.
A woman.
A she. So, okay. Yes.
E-R-I-N?
That's right.
All right.
From Aaron to Mel to Scuba Steve to my cousin Jeremy. So many people who are so happy about the Bills. So
now,
I'm enjoying.
Scuba Steve has to be named after the movie, right?
I don't know the timing of when the name Scuba, but that's my guess, though. Yeah.
Have you noticed on that Peter has turned this segment pretty much into a Phil Rizzuto segment? He names all his friends.
Well, he owns ENN.
Well, hold on. What did I do anything before this moment? I just wanted to give a shout out to the Buffalo fans out there. But what about Omar? Our very own Omar.
I feel good, man. I'm on the Bills bandwagon.
And did I tell you guys that I decided to put my money where my mouth was at the beginning of the playoffs and throw down some cash?
Good.
No. Yeah, I threw down a little hundy on the Bills to win the Super Bowl. I think it paid out plus 550.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Now,
isn't that gorgeous, Don?
Yeah.
Rick DiPietro texted me the Caesars Sportsbook at William Hill number. It's officially posted as Bills at Chiefs pick 'em with the over-under at 50. Likely to move as news comes out. Trading team expects -4 with Mahomes and +3 without Mahomes.
Yeah,
so that's
right.
A 7-point spread.
Unbelievable.
And that's right after Rick DiPietro showered with a piece of cinder block thinking it was soap.
Yeah, it was a tough moment for him. Now,
well, I don't blame anybody but the person who told us the bad information, Don.
No, you know what, Michael? You're right.
And now, I'm almost tempted to say his name.
Do it.
It is worthy. I mean, when you make that kind of mistake, it should be it should be owned. It should be
signed.
As
Hospodar.
You should sign the bottom of that painting, no?
Yeah, I think he should.
Who was it?
I can't say.
Now, I figured. So let's move on. Remind me, guys, my hot take on the NFL playoff schedule. But before that, the other thing everyone was talking about with regards to Andy Reid was the fourth down decision to have Henne throw the ball to Tyreek Hill. Of course, it worked out and ended the game, but a lot of people questioned it. Here's Andy Reid.
We go through all of those Saturday night with the quarterbacks and you know, those situations, fourth and one to win the game. You know, what do you want? And that play happened to be there. And my coaches were on board between Mike and Eric and Joe upstairs. They all did a great job with the spot, with the calls, with the, you know, everything. you know, they were spot on. So it was a great job.
No. I find it very interesting, though, right, that you see coaches, you know, they won't kick the field goal because they're afraid it'll get blocked and returned for a touchdown, which almost never happened. What was the extra point they didn't kick? What was it? The Kansas City the Arizona Buffalo game. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Cost you a pick, right?
Yeah, you won the pick.
Yeah,
I didn't have it, but you obviously gained points on me that week. Mm-hmm. And it was, well, you don't want to kick the field because if they block the extra point, return it, like, well, that's not going to happen. Just kick the darn extra point. But you know, no fear that a screen pass could be dropped, which happens all the time, which would then give the Cleveland Browns first and 10 at their own 47 with over a minute to score a touchdown that will beat you.
We haven't even spoken about this today, and I'm sure that you guys have an opinion on it as well. Stefanski challenging the call, losing a timeout, and then the timeout, it was a ridiculous timeout. I mean, it was in the third quarter. Why would you take – you lost two timeouts there that you could have used. That's why they never got the ball back.
Just the idea that on the incompletion you should have challenged, you didn't, and then the one that you shouldn't have challenged, you did.
And whoever told him to challenge from upstairs should be fired.
Well, they wasted no time.
Right.
Like, they threw the flag almost immediately. Dude, you had a couple of more seconds to get a better look at it. Now, it's hard to blame Stefanski because he's not the one. He's relying on other people. But come on, you got to put together some sort of a program where people could see things a little bit more clear.
By the way,
I think you could make a case of cost in the game. You tell me that timeout wouldn't have been vital?
Is there an easier job than informing the head coach about whether to challenge or not?
No, I think that's a hard job. That's a lot of pressure.
Not me. Give me a plate of wings and a beverage and a direct line to you from my house, and I could do that job. They show you this. You see it. You get an opportunity to see it. They show one good replay, and any football fan with a modicum of a football IQ can tell the ones that make no good sense to challenge.
Here's why I blame Stefanski, all right? They don't challenge the one earlier in the game when there was time to take a look at it. Because obviously he must have had the thought, it's too close to call, I don't want to lose the timeout. But then he throws the flag almost immediately, so all of a sudden then it's okay? Like, you deliberate early in the game, but there it's just where you could use an extra few seconds of deliberation, you throw the flag. So I think he's a good coach. He's going to win the Coach of the Year slam dunk. But these analytic guys, there are times that you have to have a little bit better feel during the course of the game.
Now, Michael, I have more stories, more fallout from NFL Sunday, the renewal potentially of the Jamal Adams, Adam Gase beef. I feel that we should do it on the other side of this break.
Well, you run the show. I don't have much to say, so why not? Sure.
Thank you.
Why are you so upset?
You guys turned listen.
On Peter.
I'm having half. So what? What are you, Peter? All of a sudden, aren't you your own man? Don't defend Peter. He's a big boy.
Because I'm allowed. Part of the beauty of a 3-man show is that the third guy could take a side. Take your side plenty.
You never take my side. Neither one of you do. All I know is that you're defending, talking about a documentary that is timeless. And ripping me for talking about a Yankees getting Corey Kluber and a deal that everybody was talking about that's not true, that I get ripped for that. I'm done. You guys do what you want. I'll throw in and out of commercials. That's what I'm good for.
All right, we should do one right here.
All right, good. I'll do that on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
50 eyes apart and break the frozen.
Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
Well, unprecedented. Tonight, take the Oilers and the over.
I parlayed that on my BetMGM account. Seems like the teams that lose at home to play the next game at home against the same team always bounce back and win. And any game involving the Canadian teams, I always go over. So it's over 6.5. So I'm taking Edmonton on the money line, parlaying that with the over. Peter
also,
Rosenberg continues.
Baseball trade by dropped by Jeff Passan. The Padres, the most active team during the offseason, have acquired Joe Musgrove, the pitcher, from the Pirates for a bevy of young players. Doesn't have the names of the players, but they've gotten Snell, they've gotten Darvish, and they've gotten Musgrove. So they are going for it in the same division as the team that won the World Championship, the Dodgers. So Musgrove was a name that was out there that maybe the Yankees could be interested in. He's taken off the board as the Padres make another trade to bolster their starting rotation. And back to ENN.
Before we get back into the football, we have to point out that this happened, because I tried to point it out on the air and there was too much confusion. Michael, the shocking part about what happened earlier, and I don't even know if you're aware of it, and Don, in real time, responding to a drop that was played by Anthony.
He didn't realize it, but
right,
I
realized.
So, yeah.
Okay, so you realize it.
Yeah.
The shocking part about this was not only the anger that came out of Don and makes a great drop in and of itself, but that drop had been played no less than 3 times today. And yet, we'll play it back for you right now, Anthony plays a Michael drop, and the reaction is Don responding as if it's real time.
Let me pin you right up against the wall with my hand
try
in your throat.
It. Dear God, dear, try it. It was so fabulous to drop you.
Does that concern you, Michael?
How could he actually say that to me again?
First of all, I said it to Peter the first time.
Right.
So I thought you were saying it to me.
No, the first time I said it to Peter, then they played the drop.
Well, I apologize. These drops, you just,
no,
Anthony
don't
is
apologize.
Becoming
you,
like RJ.
You really believe that you could drop me?
Yeah, easily.
Okay.
I mean, you could run it up the pole and be humble.
I don't care what people think.
Yeah, I'm running
up
the pole.
There is not a person on this earth that thinks that I could not knock you cold. I would never do it because I love you and I care so much about you.
Yeah.
But if you ever pin me up against the wall with your arm across my neck, in 10 seconds, someone would be unconscious.
Who would it be?
It would be me.
Run up the pole, Anthony.
Well, what do I care what people think about it? I
know you
would knock me out.
Whenever there's a disagreement, we run it up the pole.
No, I don't want it up the pole.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah,
Ryan Clark, we're talking about the possibilities of Mahomes playing or not, how much the line will be affected when we get to the AFC Championship game next weekend. Here's Ryan Clark. He feels, obviously, that Mahomes not playing is bad, bad news for KC.
It's one thing to have a lead, allow Chad Henne to come into the game and finish that game. It's another thing to have a team prepare to play Chad Henne and understand now the deficiencies you have because you don't have Patrick Mahomes. And you're not facing just any old quarterback. The dude on the other side can do it. Josh Allen can really play football. Josh Allen is going to be a top 3 MVP finisher, and they have a wide receiver who's playing with more confidence than anybody in the NFL with a defense that is improving. And this is just my opinion. If Chad Henne starts this game, the Buffalo Bills will be playing the winner of the NFC Championship in the Super Bowl.
I'd like to say this right now. I believe whatever combination we get, unless somehow it's Chad Henne and the Chiefs, like they somehow win with turnovers this weekend, but they're not very good and Buffalo's bad, that's the only unlikely scenario. But every likely scenario, I think we're going to have one of the most fun Super Bowl matchups in years.
Well, if Chad Henne takes the Chiefs to the Super Bowl, then you got the Michigan matchup.
If
Henne against Tom Brady.
That's,
you can really sell that.
Oh, yeah. That's big.
Mm-hmm.
Two all-time Michigan greats.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Packers and the Bills, Don, that would be a fabulous football game.
Oh, listen, that was my pick. At the start of the playoffs, I thought that would be the Super Bowl. And
be gorgeous.
And we'll see, because things obviously can change, because the Bills haven't been lights out necessarily in the postseason the way Kansas City at times with Mahomes looked almost unstoppable in the first half of that game. But if Chad Henne.
And then, of course, Brady Rogers is gorgeous. That's not possible.
That's the one the league is hoping for.
But no, Brady, I'm sorry, Brady against the Bills would be beautiful. Brady against the Chiefs. Mahomes,
no,
Brady.
All the combinations are great. Hey, I would have loved to see Buffalo-Cleveland championship game. How great would that be?
Yeah, I wanted that.
But
that would have been
if
sexy.
Chad Henne wins, no offense to him, but during the bye week before the Super Bowl, just induct Andy Reid to the Hall of Fame. Have a ceremony, virtually, obviously.
Can we talk about Andy Reid's face covering?
How was it?
In a word, it's troubling. It almost looks like he's wearing a Speedo. It's incredible. And then he's got the mic underneath the mask and kind of defeating the – very odd. Just want Andy to be safe. He's a national treasure.
I got to tell you, though, if we got a Chad Henne Super Bowl, how much would it perfectly fit into the tradition of Super Bowls with trash quarterbacks that you never think about ever again? Well, it's a tradition unlike any other.
But to actually have it because it's a backup, like the closest I guess we came was Jeff Hostetler, and he won the game.
Well, how about Foles?
Yeah, that too. But I don't know.
He's got a statue in Philadelphia. They'll think about him again.
This wouldn't be at that level though, because this is a guy that has not, you know, didn't start a game for how many years? 7, 8 years. Wasn't that great to begin with.
Boy, it does show you the value of having somebody at least competent as a backup.
I saw earlier.
There was somebody on one of the broadcasts, though, because the injury to Lamar and then the injury to Patrick, you know, they're going to look into, you know, more protection for quarterbacks. Well, what are they going to put them into? A spaceship? They're the most protected players in all of sports.
It's going to be basketball. I mean, if how much more can you do?
No, you can't.
You can make it. You don't have to tackle the guy. Two-hand touch it down. They wouldn't like that either, the quarterbacks.
Let's hear from Adam Schefter about the state of Deshaun Watson and the Texans. Is there a chance this thing's really blowing up?
What we know now is this, that basically, according to Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans for ESPN.com, Deshaun Watson has not returned calls from the organization. What we also know is that he's very unhappy with the way the organization has proceeded this offseason and has looked back at some of the organization's prior actions. What we can see here is that not only can Deshaun Watson request a trade, but he also could decide to withhold his services. And because of the no trade clause in his contract, the Texans have very little control here. Essentially, this is like an NBA situation. This is Deshaun Watson getting to pick where he wants to go.
If I'm the Texans and he really wants to go, I'm going to tell him, listen, bud, I mean, we're not going to give you away. You can't paint us into a corner. This is where you want to go. That's what Harden did. That I'd rather have him sit out. If I'm going to take a bad deal, I'd rather have him sit out the whole year. I have to make a deal. I've got to get teams bidding against each other. I want a Herschel Walker type of deal. I want a Ricky Williams type of deal. Don't tell me I'm only going to go to Team X, because then I can't use other teams against them.
Well, if Deshaun really wanted to apply the screws even further, he'd get it out there, the team he wants to play for. Because then all the leverage is gone.
That would kill the Texans.
See, right now it's like he can choose where he wants to go, but they could still, you know, they could talk to everybody. Imagine if he were to come out and say, I want to play for the Bears, or I'm not playing. And then the Bears will be like, well, I'm not going to give you the sun and the moon because, you know, I'm not negotiating with anybody outside of you. Nobody doesn't want to go anywhere else.
You have some leverage, because if you're going to get ripped off on a deal, then you could say, then he's not playing. That's your leverage. And then who's going to blink? Because the opportunity to get him, some team's going to jump. So the Texans have to hold firm. If we don't get what we want, he will not play.
Well, in normal circumstances, Michael, that would probably not work for the player, because then you lose your teammates, and because when it's about money. But if it ends up being something deeper than that, where his teammates agree, then nobody's gonna want to play for them.
Yeah,
it would just become another disaster. Like Steve would be right. They would have to leave the league. They'd be done. Because if this is a political thing. Like Peter said earlier, if J.J. Watt were to say, well, then I'm not playing if Deshaun's not, but they're dead.
Well, two weeks ago, Steve Young said if they trade him, they should take away their NFL charter, remember?
But what else are they going to do? If players all of a sudden start stepping up and agreeing with Deshaun and they would not play, now I don't know if that would happen.
I might, it doesn't, We haven't heard any momentum.
If I were the Texans and I really was desperate to keep him, who do you want as a coach? Then hire him. If he wants Eric Bieniemy as the coach, then hire him. That's how you keep your franchise quarterback. Well, I mean, the Lakers did it, right? They got rid of Paul Westhead. So, I mean, it's been done before, and they hired the guy that they wanted, Pat Riley. So, bottom line is, that's what you do. You want Eric Bieniemy, he's the coach.
Well, talk about misreading a situation to go from not even asking him to all of a sudden having him hire the coach.
Yep.
So that tells me that, I don't know, would they jump? Would they make that 180 like that?
Did you say hire a coach? I mean, we all know people are chomping at the bit to hire one man, and that man's name, Adam Gase. That's right. The Seahawks are talking to Adam Gase about their vacant offensive coordinator position, according to ESPN. Of course, might be awkward for one of the primary players on the other side of the ball of the Seahawks, Jamal Adams. That's right.
Reminds me of a song.
Hmm.
Reunited and it feels so good.
He's using herb.
Reunited cause we understood.
I want a little bit of whatever Adam Gase has, apparently.
He's got the Kevorka. Don said it.
Whatever he – it doesn't matter. He just keep – people still want him around. Maybe the Seahawks don't have the ticket. They didn't see.
Or Peyton made another phone call.
Well, wait a second. They saw the Seahawks completely destroy them.
That's right. You would think so. Is that right? It's insane.
I can't imagine it's going to happen. They'll interview him. They'll talk to him. But how could you do that?
I hope it happens.
Did you say Seahawks? Because on this day in 2015, this happened.
Wilson toward the end zone. It is caught! Seattle's going to the Super Bowl! Jermaine Kearse!
Russell Wilson's greatness emerges back in 2015. And also, shout out to the Duke Blue Devils, who have fallen. You hate to see it. They've fallen out of the top 25 for the first time since February 2016. 91 consecutive weeks in the ranking, second only to Kansas, who extended their streak to 229. Gonzaga's at 87. But, man, you hate to see this for Duke, and we're thinking about you guys. That'll do it for ENN on this MLK Monday.
I'm going to give Jet fans a little bit of a chill before we go to break, and we'll be joined by Chris Carlin on the other side. So there was somebody on Instagram that had the front of the back page of the Post, which is a picture of Deshaun Watson, and it says, whatever it takes. And Brian Costello writes, Jets should make Texans an offer they can't refuse for a disgruntled quarterback. 517 people liked that photo of the Post back page. You know who one of those people was? Deshaun Watson. We'll be back on Yes, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.